EJ, there was a poll out about a week or so ago now where the pollsters found that a majority, over 50% of Americans, feel that our economy is in a recession. Now, we don't have numbers that specifically technically point to that, but why is it, you suppose, that people think that the economy is in a recession?
I think it's because their own personal finances, their family finances, are what's in a recession. And that tends to happen when the broader economy goes into recession. But what we're witnessing today is this huge expansion of government spending, particularly government deficit spending. And that is essentially pushing off the technical recession for a really long time. The problem is, it's not helping out the average American. It's not helping out the typical American family who's suffering right now.
Driving this, of course, is inflation. And you had a recent piece, Biden Lied, Your Wallet Died, talking about the fact the president claimed that there was over 9% inflation when he took office. What is the historical accurate record as to where we stood with inflation when the Biden administration began?
Well, according to the Biden administration's own data, these aren't even my numbers. This is the number from the Biden administration. It was 1.4%, not 9%. It didn't reach 9% until this president and his big spending allies in Congress had put their agenda into place. And a year and a half into his administration, that inflation finally ran all the way up to 9%. And so at the end of the day, look, this problem comes from one place and one place only. That's Washington, D.C. The government is spending, borrowing, and printing much too much money to the order of trillions of dollars. And that's destroying the value of the dollar. It's robbing you of your purchasing power, and it's driving up prices everywhere. And the reason we continue to see inflation, the reason we continue to have these price increases everywhere from the grocery store to the gas station to the hardware store, you name it, it's because the government continues spending much too much money.
Taking a look at all this money the government is printing, what is it about the printing of money, EJ, that creates an inflationary cycle such as the one we're currently in?
Well, if you imagine you have a glass of whiskey and you start adding water to it and you're diluting the whiskey, the overall volume is still rising in the glass. So it's not as if the amount of whiskey is increasing, but you are increasing the total amount of liquid. That's essentially what happens when the government is printing all of this money to pay for its deficit spending. You're diluting the value of the dollar. That's the whiskey. So the total volume is going up, but you're not actually increasing the amount of what matters, the value of the currency, the whiskey in the glass.
Well, a lot of people may be driven to that whiskey glass with the way the economy has been going here. Taking a look at this going forward, you talk about all the spending that has occurred. We had something called the Inflation Reduction Act, which spent trillions of dollars. Obviously, from what you're saying, that spending of trillions of dollars had the opposite effect.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the most deceptively named pieces of legislation, I would say, in my lifetime. Because what that did was it threw fuel on the inflation fire. And if you look at a lot of aspects of the economy, which the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, was supposed to help, only months after the IRA was signed into law, those different sectors of the economy really started to stagnate. Manufacturing is a great example of that. The IRA was supposed to add millions of so-called green energy jobs in construction and manufacturing, and yet those sectors turned anemic and basically lost all of their growth only a few months after that was signed into law because of the very damaging effects from that piece of legislation. So it hasn't slowed inflation. Instead, the IRA has slowed growth.
Not only do we have the inflationary cycle weighing on the American family, but talk for a minute, if you will, here, EJ, about interest rates and the fact that the Fed has not cut interest rates this year as it was expected to do.
Part of the problem with the Fed right now is they're trying to square the circle. They're trying to help create all of this money for the government to spend while simultaneously not trying to cause inflation. But the problem is you can't do that. As you create excess money, you by definition are creating inflationary pressures in the economy. And so the Fed is trying to promise the American people, hey, we're going to cut rates, but we're also going to bring down inflation. And those goals are essentially at loggerheads today because of the excess level of government spending. Now, if you could get the government spending down and you weren't having so much borrowing out of the Treasury, then you could actually start bringing down inflation and interest rates at the same time. But the problem is that's not the situation in which the Fed finds itself today.
So, of course, if we have government spending driving inflation, looking ahead to the budget that will be, well, it's supposed to be adopted by the 1st of October, never actually happens. But is the Biden administration calling on reining in spending to try to bring this inflation under control, or have we not learned a lesson?
Oh, my goodness. Have we not learned the lesson? No, I would say that's the understatement of the day. Dear goodness, not only do they have zero intention of holding the budget where it is, let alone reducing the budget, they are planning for the biggest budget ever. I mean, bigger than any war we've had, bigger than COVID, bigger than any recession, you name it. They want record-setting budgets year after year from here on out. I mean, not only have they not learned their lesson, they are doubling down on their failure.
One of the President Biden's current campaign promises is to end the Trump-era tax cuts. And he thinks that will, of course, bring more money into the federal coffer. Is that what will happen, or would ending those tax cuts be yet a further drag on the economy?
Well, it would be another drag on the economy from the standpoint of the entire American middle class would pay more in taxes. A lot of analyses were done on the Trump tax cut. Really, it was a Trump tax reform. And what everyone universally found, including liberal news outlets, was the fact that the typical American family and basically the entire middle class was paying less under the Trump tax reform than they were before. And one of the real reasons why you have to call it a tax reform and not just a tax cut is because it got rid of loopholes which very rich Democrat donors were using to reduce their federal tax liability literally by millions of dollars. And so if you allow the Trump tax reform to expire, not only are you going to see much higher taxes on the American middle class, but you will see the very, very wealthy high income earners in almost exclusively Democrat-run states like California, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, for example. You will see those very wealthy individuals paying less. Just as an example, a high-income earner in New York City would see his or her federal tax liability reduced by 9%, and that's even with the higher tax rates. And it all has to do with the massive deductions that those people are going to be able to take again.
We have been talking with E.J. Antoni, who is a public finance economist with the Heritage Foundation. E.J., tell us a little bit about Heritage. Also, where can folks find you on the web?
Well, the Heritage Foundation is an organization dedicated to really building an America where freedom, opportunity, prosperity, and a civil society flourish. We are all about educating our fellows, whether that's grassroots or politicians and anyone and everyone in between. The best place to learn more about Heritage is going to be heritage.org. And the best place to find me is going to be on X. And the handle there is @RealEJAntoni.
E.J. Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. E.J., thank you for being back with us.
No, thank you for having me again.